Above Holland, Oscar Echo 1 Whiskey Hotel Charlie from the Documentary Archives Radio Communication in Vienna. And I'm talking to Bruce Smith, Golf 3 Hotel Sierra Romeo, son of Jim Smith, Victor Kilo 9 November Sierra. And first of all, Bruce, I want to offer our sincere condolences to you, Kirsty, and the whole family. It was a great shock to learn that your father has deceased.
Thank you for your condolences. I will say, myself and the family have been hugely surprised by the huge outpouring of condolences and very, very kind messages from every country all over the globe. When he died, Kirsty had hundreds of emails in her inbox from people saying how much they respected him, how much a gentleman he was, how he had given him a new country or many new countries, and how he even took care for those who perhaps had not such a good station, low power and a weak signal, trying to pull them in and to make sure that they got their QSO. And I'd like to thank everybody for this, for all these messages and kind words on the web. I don't think I have yet seen a bad word written about my father. Everybody has been very positive, and I know he will be greatly missed.
Can we recall his life?
Yes, he was born in Leith in Edinburgh, and was there until he was about 12 or 13, and then moved to Aberdeen, where I suppose he spent his formative years. He lived there in Aberdeen and got interested in radio because there was a Sparks, as he was called, shop at the end of the road. It was, of course, after the end of the war, and these sort of places were doing government contracts for the war and so on. And he got very interested in this sort of electronics area. This place made batteries and crystals and all sorts of things, and that is really where I suppose he found his lifelong interest in electronics and radio. He then joined up the Royal Air Force and was posted out to Car Nicobar and then eventually to Singapore. This would have been about 1949, and he did a lot of amateur radio from Car Nicobar and also from Singapore at this time. And in 1949-1950, he met my mother, Jean. They got married in Singapore. Jean was from Birmingham and had also joined the RAF and was out in Singapore on a posting. And I suppose that's how it all started. I was born in Singapore, and then my mother and father moved to Germany at Delta Lima Station. And he was there in Germany from 1952 to 1957, operating as Delta Lima. Trade was basically repairing aircraft radios from some of the British planes that were based out in Germany at that time in the 1950s. And that's how he got into radio and got his interest in radio. Then, in 1957, he had been in the RAF now for about 9 years, and he was contracted for 9 years and decided to do a further three. So he stayed in Germany and then came over to England at the end of his service time and left the Royal Air Force, but basically went back there as a civilian instructor. He was then teaching at the radio school at Locking Camp, that's in Weston-super-Mare in England, and we all then lived in Weston-super-Mare while my father taught at the radio school, the RAF radio school, as an instructor. I think round about this sort of time there were some problems in our family, and it ended up with my mother and father getting divorced in early 1970s, at which point my father, on his own now, of course, got a job out in Papua New Guinea. He was working for the civil aviation people on Papua New Guinea who were installing new radio and electronic equipment on the airport in Papua New Guinea. So in 1970, I believe it was about 1974, 75, he was out in Papua New Guinea, and he was working out there on a contract. Sometimes he was operating P-29JS, of course, from there for 3 or 4 years. And I do know that he was invited to Norfolk Island to meet a ham there. I can't remember who the name of the ham was, but he flew down from Papua New Guinea to Norfolk Island, I think basically for a short holiday. And it was there that he met Kirsty, now VK9NL. And in 1980, well, he went back to Papua New Guinea and, of course, kept in contact with Kirsty over the radio for a year or so. But then eventually they were married on Norfolk Island in 1980. And Jim moved to Norfolk Island at that time as VK9NS. So he settled on Norfolk Island. That was about 28 years ago. So he's been VK9NS for some 28 years now. Of course, we all stayed back in England, the four children, Blue, Stuart, Sheena and Fraser, and went our respective ways. We went to university and have got good careers. And I got licensed as G3H. Well, I got licensed in 1984, and I was given at that time a Golf 4 call sign. But my father asked if I'd like to have his old G call sign, which he had in the 1960s in Western Supermare. I said, yes, that would be a good idea, I think. And so I took over his G3HSR call sign and have used it since then.
Your father used to travel a lot, and he obviously enjoyed the X-ing.
He did, yes. He enjoyed, I think it really, he enjoyed both of the factors. He loved to travel, so he liked to see new places and meet new people and find out new things. He was very interested in history and geography and people of the world. But then, of course, he liked technical things. I think he was one of these people who used to like to, we would call it fiddle around, but I mean experiment and build, and he was never happier than when putting two lengths of aluminium together to try and make an antenna and so on. So I think DXing to some of these faraway places, because of course he had quite low baggage allowance and so on some of these aircraft. And so really he had to sort of make do and mend. And there are many stories about him doing that. I know that he wrote a book called The Old Timer. You've probably heard of it, and I think it's a very good read. He details a lot about where he went in that book and all the expeditions he went on. I think it must be 40 or 50 expeditions that he's been on.
Rarely do we meet a ham couple. Reminds me of the Colvins. Can you tell us a little bit more about Kirsty and your father? I mean, he's known as a gentleman on the band, but what was his character like?
His character? Oh, that's a difficult one. Well, of course, Kirsty was living on Norfolk Island at the time, of course, and she was a widow. Her husband, a Norfolk Islander, had died suddenly of a heart attack. And so she was a widow when Dad met her. So, and she's originally from Norway, from Narvik. She was brought up in Narvik during the war years, and then her trade was a radio operator on merchant shipping, I think basically coal and iron ore and that sort of thing that's applied around the world. So that's where she learned her CW skills, and she's a very good CW operator. And of course then she stopped working when she married and lived on Norfolk Island and had her children. As far as the character of my father's concerned, I think he was certainly a very kind man. He certainly nothing was too much trouble for him. He had, of course, again been brought up during the war years, so he was very conscious of keeping things and using them where you can and not sort of taking anything for granted. He was also very very dogged and determined. I mean, some of his expeditions, like getting licensing into Bhutan and Bangladesh, and of course his famous trip to Heard Island. I don't know if I could have done it. I mean, all that, it's not just a matter of doing it, it's all the organization beforehand, and you know, getting in touch with all the people and getting all the paperwork and the bureaucracy, and that required a very sort of steady, determined character, and I think that's really what he was like.
A great loss to your family and a great loss to the ham community. Bruce, thanks for talking to us today and helping us to pay a tribute to your father, Jim Smith, VK9NS. I was talking to Bruce Smith, Golf 3 Hotel Sierra Romeo. I'm Wolf Harand, Oscar Rico 1, Whiskey Hotel Charlie, from the Documentary Archives Radio Communication in Vienna.